T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go! Set!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Friday. Thanks again to Mike Conti for stopping by early, hanging out, talking some Atlanta United. He's nervous, man.
Yeah, he is.
But let's be...
It's not a bad nervousness.
I'll just peek behind the curtain for people, though. Conti is nervous before every big game for Atlanta United because he cares. I mean, obviously, he's invested. He's the play-by-play guy. He's the same way when Penn State has big games. Mm-hmm. Like, teams that he truly cares about, he gets nervous.
He does.
Because the way that everybody fans out differently.
Of course.
Some of us are very optimistic fans and come up with all the ways that we think our teams can win. Some of us are very realistic fans and we actually see. Like, I think you're a very realistic fan. Like, you see what you're seeing that your teams are doing, and you're honest about it.
Yeah.
And then some people think of all the terrible stuff that could happen.
That's you.
Me and Mike Conti are like that.
That's you.
Like, all the things that could possibly go wrong in a game are the things that go through your mind before the game actually happens. So I guess maybe you protect yourself from the pain that you might feel.
Uh-huh.
But then what sucks about that, Randy, is it still hurts when
it
happens.
It still hurts,
You can't
man.
Actually protect yourself from the pain.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've told you this the last couple of weeks, man. I don't give my soul to my teams no more. So you won't see me crying or nothing like that, breaking, throwing stuff. Nah, can't do it. Can't do it.
Yeah, I can.
I should not have to hurt that bad about something I have no control over.
That's why you need a rage room.
Huh? No, I'm not. Why am I gonna tear my stuff up?
Not your stuff.
Oh, I'm about to say. I mean, like, they gonna give me my money back? Hey, man. Damn it, Georgia. You see what I did to this TV? I'm going to need that. No.
But that's why you don't mess up your own stuff. That's why you go to a place where it's... Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Georgia's not going to lose tomorrow, so it doesn't matter. Hopefully Atlanta United wins tomorrow, and hopefully the Falcons win on Sunday as well. Big weekend. We've got a lot of time to spend talking about all those games. College Football Corner coming up in 20 minutes. Talk about Georgia. Talk about some of the other big games going on tomorrow. The Wendy Zone at 11:40. We are going to play Sports Jeopardy at 12:40. So we need your questions.
Yes.
Send your questions to Wendy on Twitter, at Wendy Radio. Any trivia question you want. Doesn't have no theme today, nothing like that. Just sports trivia. We'll get to that at 12:40. We always kick off the 11 o'clock hour with the NFL No Huddle, however. Brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up. Another way they make you smile. Let's start right here with Jamon Brown.
You know, I know for me going into this game, I'm definitely on top of my game looking at the advantage for me is I've been going against a guy for 3.5 years because that's where I did majority of my time prior to being here. So I'm actually excited for this weekend.
He said majority of his time.
I like did they the was, majority
like
of my
they
time.
Was, like they was in Pelican Bay or somewhere.
Right, exactly. You know? It's funny. That's what I heard when I listened to that clip.
Too. Yeah, like they did some hard time together. Yeah, you practice against him and I get all that. But he's still a different animal, though. But I like the confidence in and just like you just said, is he going to play? The way he's sounding is like he is going to suit up for this game. I'd rather have him on the field than the Wes Schweitzer. Definitely, most definitely, please, yes. But yeah, that was pretty funny. He said, and I'm looking at the clip.
Maybe he was talking about the St. Louis days.
Maybe
he was doing time when they were in St. Louis.
That could have been it then.
And then you go to L.A. and he felt better about that.
Yeah.
And then he was in New York for a minute, and now he's here. And unfortunately, Jamon Brown's been dealing with some concussion stuff. So hopefully, he's able to be on the field on Sunday, because, look, I mean, Mike Conti said the Atlanta United dealing with Miles Robinson being out is all about minimizing risk and mm-hmm. safety first.
Correct.
That's what it is for me trying to deal with Aaron Donald.
Oh, yeah.
Safety first.
Yes.
Whatever you can pot, and I think Jamon Brown keeps Matt Ryan more safe. Now, I don't know how much more safe.
But more.
Because it's still Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
But it's more safe than Wes Schweitzer. And then you try to, hopefully Alex Mack is closer to healthy than he has been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Hopefully you've got other plans, too.
Yep.
Because Aaron Donald
is a problem.
Is good.
He's a problem.
And he's terrifying.
Yes, and he's vicious, too, dude. He comes with bad intentions when he plays. I mean, that's what I love about watching him play, because this dude plays with bad intentions.
Yeah, watching him play is another one of those guys where I get sack envy. I got a lot of sack envy last night watching those Kansas City Chiefs. They got more sacks last night, Randy, in 3 quarters than the Falcons have all year.
Dude, they played against a bum Boom.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Boom.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that the Falcons were playing against the best offensive lines in the NFL the last 3 weeks.
That thing, that line in Denver is they're bums.
They're
bad.
Bigger bums than the last 3 offensive lines the Falcons have played.
They might have it.
Arizona Cardinals offensive line is bums.
But I'm just saying, you look at what KC's done all year, and then you go up to Mile High. I mean, Garrett Bowles, it was a great story. It was beautiful draft day. He got his lady, he got his baby boy. It was beautiful, lovely. Dude, he's trash. He is god awful. And to have Mike Munchak as your offensive line coach, I know he's like mother.
Wait, what? We took this guy in the first round?
I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
That was just a raggedy.
Frank Clark basically lived inside Joe Flacco's jersey last night.
Did you see Joe Flacco's face?
That's what my face would look like, too.
Hey, man. You see those dudes with the white jerseys?
Block them.
Did y'all block them?
Yeah, somebody hit somebody because they keep hitting me. 9 sacks last night. Yeah. Unbelievable. Hopefully that's not anything like what we're talking about tomorrow with the Rams and the Falcons, unless it's from the Falcons' perspective. But, you know, that seems unlikely. Kendall Sheffield also spoke with Paul Crane and Harry Douglas. Both of these interviews, that full Jamon Brown interview and a Kendall Sheffield interview, will be featured in full on Sunday morning on the Falcons Radio Network pregame show. Here's some of what Kendall Sheffield had to say.
I'll say my confidence has increased the more and more I play, just to get more confident, get more comfortable in my position. I'm a player just like I prayed last week. I just had a mindset of when I got in, just take care of my business and just play every play like it's my last.
And he was pretty good. I mean, Kendall Sheffield was solid. He made a couple mistakes that you're going to make when you're a rookie making your first start in the NFL. But, I mean, Kendall Sheffield might have been one of the silver linings of the defense last week slightly. Was he an upgrade? Was he better than Isaiah Oliver?
He played better, didn't
he? Well, I guess he sort of played because of Desmond Trufant, Desmond Trufant was hurt.
But. Yeah, he played better. He can't hesitate down there in that goal line, that one play I kept talking about. But, yeah, he's played better. He's playing with more. And the thing about it is when you start off good the way he has, then, you know, you get that gives you confidence. When you start off bad the way that Isaiah did, you're searching for your confidence. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's what Isaiah's still searching for, that confidence. Kendall has it right now because he played well. Now, he wasn't no gangbuster and all that, but he played well enough. And they're going to need that because when you're going against these receivers and that tight end and you got 30 back in that backfield and you don't know what to expect, because if they got Todd Gurley going, it's a wrap. You ain't going to be able to score enough points.
How much can he do, though? Like, he's been limited.
That is the thing.
And they were limiting him even before he missed last week and didn't play last week because of an injury. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to watch Todd Gurley, obviously, this Sunday, but every single week this year, closely, and just wondering exactly what's going on with him. Because, you know, he missed last week because of an injury, but he's been dealing with all kinds of different lower body stuff ever since the news came out that he might have a degenerative knee problem in the playoffs last year. So, I hope that it doesn't get to the point where we're talking about Todd Gurley not being Todd Gurley anymore.
Yeah.
But even in those brief moments a couple weeks ago,
He looked good.
Like, he can look like Todd Gurley in spurts, but he can't be consistently for an entire game maybe like he used to be anyway. I don't know, but it does look like he's going to play on Sunday. We'll see what type of impact he has on the game on Sunday. Julio Jones hopefully will have a huge impact on Sunday. He talks about what Dan Quinn does for the team.
Coach Q been a great coach for us, and just the way he comes to practice, the way he does, you know, anything, he does everything, and it's like one of the things is he's always a positive guy. He does what he do. Like, it's not, he don't make up stuff. He don't, you know, like, okay, I'm going to be hard on you, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He takes care of us. He does everything, you know, that he needs to be doing at this point.
I know what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's Julio's way of saying that Dan Quinn is consistent. He does what he do.
Yep.
Yeah, he does. And that's not really anybody's criticism of Dan Quinn. What? That's what he said. I'm quoting him. What he do.
It just sounded like
it doesn't sound good coming from me. I'm just quoting him, all right?
I know. It just feels
it sounds a lot cooler when Julio says it.
Yeah, it does.
Probably pretty much everything sounds cooler when Julio says it.
It does a little bit.
But he's basically saying Dan Quinn's consistent, which is what Matt Ryan said earlier in the week, which is true, which is great.
Yeah. But, like, and it don't matter,
but it's nice.
I get why people say, you know, maybe it's a new message. Dan going in the locker room and throwing chairs and hollering and cussing at folks ain't going to make this team play no better.
It would actually probably be like, hang on, what?
Hang on,
he's
what?
He's faking it. That's not what Dan
exactly.
Quinn does.
That's not Dan.
That's not what he do.
Dan's not. Stop, please.
It's not.
Dan is not that type of guy to do something like that, man. But, hey, I understand where some people say, oh, he's lost the locker room. This team's playing hard, and this team is playing hard for their head coach. Don't get me wrong, because I heard somebody, a nice lady talk on the morning show a couple days ago. She said it doesn't look like they're playing. If they're playing hard for him, then why are they not winning or stuff like that? I mean, sometimes that's just talent.
Right, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
It's more talent
now,
than
Dan
message.
Quinn, not absolved from that being the issue either, because Dan Quinn helped pick the talent.
He picked him.
So he's to blame for that as well. You think I'd be able to pull off the Julio stuff a little bit better if I wasn't wearing Birkenstocks and socks right now?
Is that what them sandals are called?
Yeah, the Birkenstocks.
Okay, I would call them sandals.
Yeah, they're sandals. It's a nice type of sandal.
But it's a little chilly. Well, it's not chilly.
That's why I got these nice thick socks on to keep my feet warm. Let's give away $1,000. $1,000. Come on.
That confuses me.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
guitar. Andy looks like he plays a guitar with his Birkenstocks or
maybe
whatever.
Maybe an acoustic guitar.
With his whatever thing's called.
Birkenstocks.
Birkenstocks. Well, you have until 11:59 to text guitar to 72881. That is 72881. Message and data rates will apply. Do not text and drive, please. For complete rules, visit 929thegame.com/rules. Again, that word is guitar. G-U-I-T-A-R.
I actually do play the guitar, by the way.
You look like you're in a band.
Yeah, with James Taylor.
With that outfit on. with your Birkenstocks.
Some Jack Johnson.
What's it called?
Birkenstocks, Randy.
Birkenstocks.
Sandals are sandals. Birkenstocks are a movement.
So those are fancy.
They're nice sandals.
Okay.
Whatever, man. not great from last night, unfortunately. We had some fun talking about what the Chiefs' pass rush did. They look good. The bad news, of course, Patrick Mahomes gets injured, dislocated his kneecap, which sounds like the worst. You ever dislocate your kneecap
before?
I've
never dislocated it before.
God, that sounds awful.
And they showed him pop it back in. Yeah, man, that's the worst part right there, man. But, yeah, that was unfortunate, man. And not just for the Chiefs, but for the league. You know how important it is. You know, the quarterbacks and everything. I think they're saying it's 14 new starting quarterbacks. Going to be 14.
That's almost half the league.
Yeah, and I mean, that's with injury and people getting benched. But, I mean, when you got a face of the league type player like Pat Mahomes is, yeah, that's rough, man. But don't know how long he's going to be out. If it's just a dislocation, they're talking about maybe 3 weeks.
That's it. The best case scenario is about 3 weeks.
Best case scenario. So I think they'll wait and see, too, after the MRI. And for all these people talking about, shouldn't have been out there running a quarterback sneak. Well, what are you talking about? It's 4th and 1. That's the best play in football to run a quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
And he picked it up.
He got the first down.
And he picked it up.
I know he got hurt. He got landed on by a 300-pound person, but that can happen literally on any play in the NFL.
And it's not Thursday night football fault that he tore his knee up.
No, so, I mean, it's just an unfortunate accident is what happened. Like, yeah. Tom Brady quarterback sneaks on 3rd and 4th and 1 30 times a year.
And you know it's coming.
And he gets it. Because it's a good play call if you have a decent offensive line. And again, Patrick Mahomes picked it up. Are people really saying that they shouldn't have?
Yes, they are.
It's a play that you call.
Yes, like, it is.
Because he's a franchise quarterback, you don't call it?
I guess.
I wish the Falcons would use it more effectively more often on 3rd and 4th and 1. Because they can't really because their offensive line isn't really getting that type of push. But last year, whenever they go to the – and they do it this year too, which boggles my mind – when they go to the Wild Sanu – Mohamed Sanu in shotgun on 3rd and short. God, that can't be your best play.
It's not fun to look at.
Sneak it. Matt Ryan's like 6'5". Just get in there and, you know, run behind Alex. Anyway, maybe they can't pull that off. The bottom line is it's very frustrating that Patrick Mahomes is going to be out for a while.
It is.
Not obvious.
You know the next game is?
When?
Them in Green Bay.
Yikes.
Oh, you would have liked
that would have been a lot of fun.
You want to see Pat Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
But again, don't know how long he's going to be out. Matt Moore is the backup quarterback who came in, played well. Matt Moore has, like, the keys to a Ferrari, just don't wreck it. All right? You got Tyreek Hill. You got Travis Kelce. You got
Mecole Hardman.
You got Demetrius Robinson. You got guys. Just give him the football. The only thing about Matt Moore is Matt Moore don't take care of himself when he's running. You remember,
reckless,
that playoff game when Bud Dupree damn near killed him?
Yeah.
Okay, you could have easily slid or got out of bounds. But no, dog.
He's a mountain man.
Hey, come on, bring it on.
Yeah, he's a mountain man. Matt Moore. You know, there's more Oregon State quarterbacks in the NFL right now than Oregon quarterbacks starting. That's fun.
That's unfortunate.
Good for Oregon State. No, it's fine for me. I don't care. I hate Oregon. We'll come back and get to college football. Speaking of Oregon, you keep forgetting that I'm a Washington fan. That's fun. Maybe Georgia will lose to Kentucky tomorrow. We'll get into some college football coming up next. Georgia, Kentucky. I mean, Washington, Oregon is a game with ranked teams. We might talk about that next, too. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's College Football Corner. News and notes from around the world of college football with the world's greatest flag football kicker, Andy Bunker.
Big freaking deal.
And the best tight end in UGA history, Randy McMichael.
Yours is just so much better than mine. And yours is true also, which makes it better. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. It gets me every day, every single day. Coming up in 20 minutes, the Wendy Zone. Hi. Wendy Adams will join us in studio, live, with a working microphone and everything. We're looking forward to that. We'll get to our keys to the game an hour from right now in our lunchtime Falcons report. But as always, it's time for the College Football Corner. Some interesting games this weekend, no doubt. And I think nationally, probably not a lot of people paying attention to the Georgia-Kentucky game. We obviously are. And I think there's a special emphasis on it, Randy, given what happened last week to South Carolina. Georgia, in the last 40 times they've played Kentucky, has beaten them 35 of those times.
Yeah.
They handle Kentucky, rightfully so.
Correct.
And I expect that to happen tomorrow as well. What do you need to see tomorrow? Anything specifically you need to see tomorrow to feel better about this team right now?
It's hard to say. Once you're more exposed to play, of course you want to see that. Just want to see some different. Want to see if you learn from your mistakes. More than anything, I want to see the energy level. I want to see where Georgia's energy level and their focus is. Because, there's no reason that you should have lost to South Carolina. I mean, effort or not, you're better than they are. You know, I mean, it just is what it is. You're a more talented team than them. But that goes back to, the talent team doesn't always win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see a ferocity from whoever is in the trenches of that game tomorrow night on the game. Offensive line, whichever five you're in, I want to see domination. Defensive line, I want to see domination. Now, we know the weather's supposed to be a little raggedy up there. And will that hurt Georgia? I don't think so, because we're built to do that.
There's a tropical depression moving inland from the Gulf of Mexico.
You just like saying that.
That's what's happening. I do. I like meteorological terminology.
Yeah, you just like saying
I don't
that.
Know why. It's fun. There's a tropical depression moving inland from the Gulf of Mexico.
Meteorologist Andy Bunker.
Yeah, I wish. Right. I don't have the training or the knowledge. But I like standing in front of green screens. I can do this and move my hands, but I don't have the knowledge. It's going to rain a lot tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you said yesterday that that's an advantage to Georgia.
Yeah, we're built for it. We're built to run the football in the rain. We're built for bad conditions. We're one of those teams where when they talk about what travels in bad weather, run game and defense travels in bad weather. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm not worried about the weather at all when it comes to Georgia. I mean, you do have to worry about their quarterback because he's their best player. It reminds me a lot of Lynn Bowden, when they had Randall Cobb. And remember, Randall Cobb was the quarterback, and then all of a sudden he was a receiver, the kick
player.
Just so your best player
Lynn Bowden was literally a receiver 2 weeks ago.
Yes, so you can get the ball in your best player's hand. That's what Kentucky's done. He gives you a lot of problems because he's so versatile, and he's quick, and he can run. He can throw a little bit, but, I mean, I take my chance with him throwing a football against us. But that's one
especially
of the,
in the rain.
Yes, but that's one of those things, Andy, where you get lulled to sleep. You know, and then they hit you with a damn double reverse pass back to him, and he throws it, because there's nobody back there. So you still got to be on you. You still got to do your keys and your reads and everything like that. But I think we'll be fine.
Kirby Smart said earlier in the week, they've been here before.
This is not first time we've had to deal with this each year. We've had to deal with it at different times from different opponents. And they acknowledge that. They understand. Last 20 years or something of the SEC East, I don't think a team that's represented the SEC East has been undefeated. Maybe Florida, I think 1 year they did. But outside of that, it just doesn't happen very often. So what's more important is that our team gets ready for Kentucky and gets ready to go play than talking about the rest of the year.
Yeah, and look, he's absolutely right. And that becomes true if you beat Kentucky and you go on and do what you did the last couple of years where you lost games and then you bounce back.
Right.
Like, yes, you've been in this situation before, kind of, with an asterisk. You lost at Auburn. Auburn's a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm.
LSU, you lost, and LSU's a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm.
And South Carolina hadn't been a very good team up to that point.
Right.
And losing to South Carolina at home is just a little different than that. But it's easy, 5-6 weeks from now, if you win all these games, to say, see, it was our, for whatever reason,
just weren't ready to play.
We're due for this once a year. Hopefully we don't have to go through this every single year. But sometimes, you got 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. You don't take every opponent as seriously, or for whatever reason they weren't ready to play last week, which Kirby literally said, and this still blows my mind. I don't understand how they weren't ready to play and how exactly he knew that before the game started?
Who knows the team better than the head coach?
Yeah, I know, but like, so what were they doing before the game started that told him we're not ready to do this right now? Just kind of lollygagging around?
I have no clue, man.
Pre-game warm-ups didn't look right. It's weird for me to hear. I've never heard a coach say that before in a pre-game interview that we're not ready to go right now.
Yeah, I mean,
and then he was right. And they weren't.
He was absolutely correct, and they weren't. And again, nobody knows the pulse of his team better than his head coach, and he knew the pulse of it, and they weren't ready. And again, that's a wake-up call that just because you're more talented than the team, if the team comes out and plays hard and plays well, and then you give them four turnovers, you gave them four possessions.
Right.
You gave them four possessions.
That's how you lose.
That's how you lose games. Mm-hmm. And your players who were supposed to make plays didn't.
Yep. I'd like to see Jake Fromm just have a nice, clean game tomorrow as well. That's really the one thing that I'm looking for. The energy from the beginning, basically just getting back to doing what you do to teams that aren't as good as you and winning the game by 30 points. So that's what I want to see them do tomorrow. One interesting Georgia stat. Did you know this? The Bulldogs are the only FBS team that hasn't allowed a rushing touchdown so far this season. Do you know that?
I did not.
No rushing touchdowns so far this year.
I did not know that
at all. That's kind of interesting. Their run defense has actually been amazing. It's been a lot better than people thought it was going to be.
Oh, yeah. That's his philosophy, run the ball and stop the run. I mean, that's what he wants to do, and they've done a great job of doing that. Now you got a different dynamic as far as who's going to be the quarterback because you haven't played a quarterback this mobile.
Sure.
You haven't played a quarterback that they're going to design quarterback runs for him. I expect a lot of quarterback draws, quarterback power, sweeps, all these things because he's your best player. You want to keep it in his hands. But the one thing about that, Andy, is that when you're at a cornerback and when you're a safety and they're doing all these things, you've got to be aware of the trick play. You got to be aware that he's running a quarterback sweep, the wide receiver stock blocking you, and then he, you know, does a fake and then he runs a takeoff. And you're still stuck looking in the backfield. So those are the things you got to worry about tomorrow.
So I think before last week happened, if I asked you this question, Georgia would have been in your top four, would have been in most people's top four. Probably not right now.
Right.
Who are your top four teams? If you're the College Football Playoff Committee, Randy McMichael version.
Oh, it'd be Bama, LSU, Clemson, Ohio State.
Okay, I'm similar. I go Clemson, Bama, LSU, Oklahoma. I've got Oklahoma at number four. And the thing that's different for me about Oklahoma right now than they've been is that defense is actually pretty good. They got Alex Grinch as their defensive coordinator. They brought him from Wazoo, where he actually had a good defense up there. Like, no one has good defenses at Wazoo with Mike Leach.
Right.
And now he's there doing similar things. They're actually, for the first time in a long time, like, you look at that Oklahoma defense, and it's not just, all right, they're going to have to score 50 points to
beat you.
Good. They actually are really good on that side of the ball as well. So, and look, Ohio State has been also. I'm looking forward to seeing Ohio State play some really tough Big Ten competition because no offense to Michigan State and some of the other teams that they've beaten so far. No offense, Sparty. Sorry about that, Deshaun.
Michigan State was garbage, okay?
Yeah.
Flat out garbage.
Well, and then did you see what Wisconsin did to Michigan State last week?
And I ain't apologizing to Tate. I know Tate's our guy. He runs the cameras here at 99 The Game. Watch 99 The Game. They don't show Andy's feet, but yeah.
I'll put him up.
Okay, now you see him. There he is. But, I want to see this, but Wisconsin is just bullying folks.
Yeah, Wisconsin's really good.
Yeah, I mean, they pretty damn good, man.
There's a Big Ten matchup this weekend that'll prove interesting as well. Mike Conte nervous about this one. Actually, less nervous about this one than he is about the Atlanta United game. That's what he told us before the show. Penn State takes on Michigan.
Yeah.
This feels like a big one for Jim Harbaugh.
Here's why.
His record against teams is not good.
Not good at all, and it's funny because Michigan's 5-1. You know, it looks like they've been, you know, the way people talk about Michigan, a lot of that has to do with the persona of their coach. It's like they're just 0-4 or something like that. They are 5-1. You know, they won a tough one last week against Iowa, but it's just not the same Michigan.
It's not.
You know, and Jim's going to get a lot of that heat. What's the line on this? I think it's 5.5, somewhere in that area.
Nine. Penn State's favored by nine
really?
At home. Yeah,
wow.
They're favored by 9 at home.
But, yeah, but you know what? This is a big game up there for Penn State, too, to show that, you know what, we are relevant. I like James Franklin, but, you know, the one thing that James Franklin does is that he wins the press conference because he's so charismatic and all that. But, you know, they got to win a big game. This is a big game for them, their first real test of the season.
There's one other game this weekend between ranked opponents, and Brian Gebhardt said it's okay if I talk about it for a minute, and he's a jerk. And you want to know why Brian said it's okay that I talk about Oregon-Washington for a minute?
Why is that?
Because it's the last time this season that we're going to be able to talk about Washington. Because if they lose to Oregon, I don't get to mention them anymore. And that's fair. Because here's the thing. If Washington beats Oregon tomorrow, mm-hmm. the Pac-12 is already out of it.
Oh.
But, I mean, they're out of it.
No, okay? Man. My man Coach Herm.
Oh, they're going to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to play Utah tomorrow. That's going to be a tough game, too.
Oh, we got it. We're going to shut down Zach.
Wait, we? You're an Arizona State Sun Devil now because of Herm Edwards?
No, I'm a Herm guy.
Okay, you're a Herm guy. Yeah, I'm a Herm guy too. Yeah. The fact that he has Arizona State 5-1 is totally ridiculous. They're also actually that's a ranked matchup as well.
Yeah.
Arizona State 17th and Utah 13th. Utah favored by 13.5 at home. But anyway, I'm nervous about this game, Randy. I hope Washington wins tomorrow. I don't think they're going to.
Dude, that attitude right there. Now, Oregon's been playing some great defense.
They're the third best defense in the country.
I tell you what,
Their quarterback hasn't thrown an interception in 300 passes.
Tell me this. Who you trust more if it comes out of crunch time, Miss Coaching Wise?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Chris Peterson.
Yeah.
Mario Cristobal's a disaster.
Yeah. Keep it
but
close.
That would mean it would have to be close.
Keep it close.
I don't think
keep
it's going to be.
Hey, Atlanta Hawks fans, opening night presented by State Farm is on Saturday, October 26th. At 7:30 versus Orlando Magic, seats are limited. Go to Hawks.com/tickets to reserve your seats today.
Did you say Paul Crane?
Woo!
Woo! No, you didn't,
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to do that. We'll come back and get to the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams will join us in studio, working microphone and everything, as she always does at 11:40, right after this, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Game.
Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold. A lady.
Oh, my lady.
All right, everybody stand up.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Friday. We'll get you our keys to the Falcons game coming up at 12:20. The most important audio in the world about 20 minutes from right now to kick off the noon hour. And Sports Jeopardy at 12:40. Send your questions to Wendy on Twitter, at Wendy Radio. If you've got some trivia questions for us, we will try to answer them at 12:40 an hour from now. But now, as always at 11:40, Wendy joins us in studio as well. Hi, Wendy.
And if you don't have a Twitter account, you can always use Instagram at Wendy Radio. I'll accept them there. And it's where you can also see a video.
See what? What's going on over there on Instagram?
On Instagram, where I posted a video from this morning because I didn't notice your foot situation until...
Until you
started walking to the studio.
Make it sound like I don't know.
Dude, you look sharp, man.
Thank you. I feel sharp.
You look sharp.
Oh, right? I feel good about that.
Your outfit's great, but I didn't.
You look sharp. And then here's the thing, Wendy.
I was just shocked.
He's going up there to App State. Him and his wife, his brother, just going to town, and everything. Right. And he's going to be her arm candy.
No.
All right, he looks sharp. Look at him.
I appreciate Andy's style. Yeah.
It's my mountain attire right now.
Yeah, you want to be some arm candy.
By the way, I picked my brother up from the airport this morning at about 5:15.
Yes.
And he walks out of Hartsfield-Jackson and gets in the car. You know what he's wearing?
What's that?
Birkenstocks and socks.
Hey.
Because he knows.
You know, I haven't seen...
He's initiated.
I haven't seen socks with sandals for a long time, and I guess it is a Northwestern thing, but I have a video on my Instagram at Wendy Radio where you can see Hugh Douglas giving Andy a hard time about the situation, and I just have a quick poll up there that just asked the question, socks with sandals, is that okay? And it was just yay or nay, and you're losing. It's 87% are saying
87%
no? 87%
no.
It's not even close,
But the thing
Andy.
About it is that...
But I do appreciate your style.
The socks at least like look fashionable.
Oh, the socks are great.
Yeah, you know,
if you had some white
tube socks on or something, it'd be a bad look.
Then I'd be Timmy Tube Socks.
Yeah, but
I'm not Timmy Tube Socks.
And again, I'm your partner, so I'm used to it. So I'm like, hey, that's just Andy.
It's not the first time.
I know, he looks sharp.
Nor will it be the last.
Yeah. Maybe that should be our Halloween costumes. We each go as one of the characters that we have on the show now. So
Timmy Tube Socks.
Fred the Baby.
Dr. Liz Frank.
Who's the other one with the pull your...
Peeping.
Jimmy the Drunk. I'll be Jimmy the Drunk. Yeah. Called it dibs. I'm Jimmy the Drunk.
I'll be Timmy Tube Socks.
What is it? Peeping Bobby?
I ain't going to be peeping by the window.
You don't want to be Peep Show Bobby?
Nah. I only went to one.
More than the rest of us combined.
Cost me a damn quarter. Like, you going to get naked?
No, please, no. No, no.
Quarter don't go far as it used to.
Well, I hate to bring this up, but during last night's Thursday night football games, we all saw Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback, go down with a dislocated kneecap. He had already hurt his ankle this season. Well, this proves that the Madden curse is indeed real, because there is only one person that has escaped the Madden curse. We have Antonio Brown, who's no longer in the league right now, and he had frostbite. He was on the cover last year. He had Gronk in 2016. He only played six games, or Madden 17, rather. He only played six games due to injury. Brady was the only player to escape it, but now you can add Patrick Mahomes' name, who was on the cover this year of Madden, going down with the injury.
It's pretty crazy how, again, like, we don't believe in curses and all that.
No,
it's, but it does seem like ridiculous how often the Madden cover athlete ends up getting hurt.
You know why?
Because it's the NFL and everyone gets hurt.
Exactly. And don't get me started with the Madden cover. Because Peyton Hillis was on the cover of Madden.
And why shouldn't he be?
Dude.
Peyton Hillis is one of the greatest running backs of 2007.
Dude had one good season.
A good season.
And a cool face mask.
He had a half a good season and he was a white running back.
And they put him on the cover of Madden.
It was a fan vote, by the way. God. That was the year they did the fan vote. That's how Peyton Hillis got on the cover of Madden.
Mike Vick broke his leg.
Peyton Hillis is without question the worst football player to be on the cover of Madden.
Yes.
Who's next?
Maybe it's he had bad seasons because he was on Madden.
Maybe he would have gone on to be a Hall of Fame running back if he wouldn't have been on the Madden cover. But pretty much everyone else they've gotten right. Like, you pretty much only put Hall of Famers on the Madden cover for the
most
part.
See, that's why I said AB, okay, he was put on last season, right?
Right.
Did he get hurt last year? He was a knucklehead, but did he get hurt? He quit on his team.
Good point.
And everything, but did he get hurt?
Maybe not.
Well, the frostbite got his feet.
But that was after. That was after.
Not during the season.
Yes.
You're technically correct.
You know who was on the first cover of Madden?
Wasn't it Barry?
No, it was John Madden. The first ever version of John Madden.
I always get that damn question.
And you always say
And I always say Barry.
Every single time I've asked that before.
Because I've asked
that
four times.
And I always say Barry.
No, it wasn't Barry. I think Barry was on the second one.
I always say Barry.
Barry was a cheat code in Madden 94. Yeah, he was. He was so fun. And then Mike Vick was a cheat code in 04. You weren't allowed to be the Falcons at my house. Because Mike
it was
cheating. Like, you can't do it. Mike Vick, you can't tackle him. And also, he can throw the ball 80 yards on the run. Like, it's not
fair. I have never played Madden before.
Really?
I didn't get into like the sports games if I played video games at all. I was more of just the Mario Brothers or Zelda.
I don't know why I just stopped playing.
Well, I stopped playing after college. Just kind of didn't.
Yeah,
it's fun to play with buddies or your brothers or whatever, but if you're by yourself, I don't know. I know you can play online. I never did that. By the way, quick aside, video game related.
85.
The Nintendo.
Yep.
The regular Nintendo, the first Nintendo, came out 1985 today.
Today.
Today in 1985.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
I got one of those little mini Nintendo ones
when they came back.
Oh. They made these little mini consoles, and they were preloaded with games.
Oh, I have one. I got one at the house now. It's down in the basement.
I haven't played it in a while.
Favorite regular Nintendo game?
Oh, Tecmo Bowl.
Tecmo Bowl is a great game.
Yes. Oh, Zelda.
Zelda was an amazing game.
It was so fun.
Yeah.
I like Pitfall. I love Pitfall.
I love Tecmo Bowl. Tecmo Bowl was my joy. Also, today in 1984, the Cosby Show episode of The Shirt. When Theo had the Gordon Gartrell on Denise made.
The yellow and black shirt.
Yes, that episode dropped today, too. Denise! I just love it when he came out with that Gordon Gartrell. But, yeah, Duck Hunt and that dang-on Duck Hunt. You know, it came with a combination Mario and Duck Hunt. Like, I had the game for 3 years before I got another game.
It was a great game.
Yes. Mama would not buy no more games. We go rent them, though.
Duck Hunt was, remember renting
video games? Yeah.
Did you guys do that?
You had to go to Blockbuster.
And you'd go on Friday night, and you'd want to get it, and then if they didn't have it in stock.
And nobody ever had Tecmo Bowl. Tecmo Bowl was always out.
And then you'd go up to the guy at the front desk and ask if maybe they had it in the back, and they never did. But the one time they did, it's the best ever.
Yeah.
Renting video games. Yeah, I forgot about it.
Or just renting movies in general. Right. That's what you
rent
did.
Movies and then
pick up a pizza on the way home.
Those were the best Friday nights.
And get the two VCRs and dub them.
Wait, what?
Oh, y'all didn't do that?
Wait, how does that work, Randy?
Hold on. Y'all didn't do that?
Well, we didn't have two VCRs, so.
You mean committing a crime? No, we didn't do that.
Oh, really?
No, Friday night wasn't crime time.
Oh, man, we had like three movies on the tape.
What's the statute of limitations? Can you still get arrested for that?
Literally, the first thing that comes up when you put a videotape in is the FBI warning telling you not to do that.
Oh, nobody read that. Y'all didn't do that for real?
No, we didn't.
Well, good thing you didn't have a microphone back then.
Yeah,
we didn't do that.
Yeah, you got like six of them. You know,
what?
We're like three, four movies. On Saturday, on Friday, and on Monday, they all.
There's a call on line 12 for you.
They're all dubbed.
You're going to get a lot of support on the text line and on Twitter
for
from
sure.
That one. There's going to be a lot of people with you on that.
Contra. What was the Contra code? Up, up, down, down. Oh. Did you play Contra?
A, B, left, right, yes. Something like
Star
that.
Star Select or something like that, yeah.
I don't remember. Great stuff.
Well, that was fun.
Oh. Yeah.
We got the Taste of Atlanta, please. The award-winning three-day food, beer, wine, and cocktail experience is today through Sunday at Historic Fourth Ward Park. Come taste Atlanta's best from at least 100 restaurants around Atlanta. Get tickets at tasteofatlanta.com. My bad.
All right, we'll come back.
Dub movies?
Wow. No. We'll come back and get to the most. We would tape them when they were on HBO. No.
I also didn't
or on
break.
TV.
We had no HBO.
Randy, I don't break the rules.
Most important audio in the world.
I read the warnings.
Thank you, Wendy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.